So, this last week, I don't know if any of you watched the TV at all, see any of the memorials. I got a chance to watch one of the memorials for John McCain yesterday, and it was very interesting to see, you know, because you got everybody from both sides of the aisle, as they'd say, coming to remember this man and what he did in his life and who he was, and get reminded of, I mean, the man went through a lot, right? And he becoming a presidential candidate and all the, everybody's throwing dirt at each other. And I particularly like the one phrase from President Obama, and he commented, he said, "Now when John called me with the request earlier this year, I'll admit sadness and also a certain surprise. But after our conversation ended, I realized how well it captured some of John's essential qualities." He goes and lists a number of them. And he goes, "It showed his irreverence, his sense of humor, and a little bit of a mischievous streak. After all, what better way to get a last laugh than to make George and I say nice things about him to a national audience?" I thought that was great. But the reality of the situation is it's good to look at the lives of others. And we usually do it when it's someone passes away. You know, I'd love to be at my own funeral to see what kind of good things people can come up with to say about me. But we all miss that. It's probably good because then our pride would have a real problem. But it's good for us to take the time and look at others who've gone before us and learn from them. For instance, Hebrews 11 is a nice synopsis of a whole bunch of lives of people who did a real good job and talked about how by faith they did all these different things. Often referred to as the Heroes of Faith chapter. And you really just, you read through it and you're just so encouraged, and then you get that right there at the end. I just love the verses 32 to 38, and says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." We live our nice little lives here in America. Soft, comfortable. It's good to look at what others have gone through, to see how it is possible to carry on when times are tough. Because though it may be soft and comfortable now, I can guarantee you it won't stay that way forever. If you pay any attention to the news, you see that there's constantly people trying to change the way things have been here in the United States. They want freedom of speech gone from certain of us. They'd love it that I couldn't get up here and preach without breaking the law and being able to be thrown in prison, some of them. Just the way it is. So we have Hebrews, where it talks about how that was written for our remembrance. Verse 12:1 says, "Therefore we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." So all these people are witnessing to us what they've done, how they survived, and how the Lord was faithful in every circumstance. And also 1 Corinthians 10:1 through 10 is kind of a synopsis of people who didn't do so well. They messed up, and God slew a whole bunch of those Israelites right there in the wilderness. And that's what it's talking about. And their lives serve as an example for us, a warning. Don't go this way. Okay, so it's good for us to be reading Old Testament. A lot of times we get in the New Testament, we want to be encouraged, we want to hear all the good stuff, we want to see how the Lord has done for us, and it's good. But it's also good not to forget all the lives of those who have gone before us. But I want to encourage you this morning to take the time. And today we're going to go talk about the life of Josiah a little bit and a few other lives, but mostly concentrating on Josiah. But take your time. Open your Bible up and read it yourselves. Start to find out about this guy. You know, because that's why I'm preaching this. This week I found out that Mike was with his surgery and he wasn't going to be able to preach. I found it on Wednesday morning on my way home from work after having not been home for about 10 days. And I'm like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing the next few days, trying to scramble together a sermon. So I'm like, okay, Lord, well, what have you been taking me through? Well, I've been reading through the Old Testament. I've been in Kings, and I've just been reading about Josiah and how Josiah, in my time of reading it, went from Josiah, just one of those guys, he's one of the pre-exilic kings towards the end, I know that much, and I know he was one of the good kings. That's about all I knew. But I took the time, and I'm reading it, and I'm like, wow, this dude's pretty cool. And why do I miss those things? Why do I take such a glance at it and just like, okay, and I ignore all these things when the Lord's put this for me for an encouragement for me to not mess up, to do good things? Okay, so, I guess I know what I'm preaching about. Didn't take me long. It took me about 10 minutes on my drive, and by the time I made it to Brentwood, because I was on Vasco when Wes called me, I'm like, well, I know what I'm preaching about. Didn't know exactly how I was going to do it, but I had that general idea in my head, so. So first of all, who was Josiah? Well, it kind of, you know, it's like you get to know someone, you got to know what's their background a little bit, right? Because, you know, if I don't know that you've had, you know, been abused and all that, oh, wow, that makes kind of an understanding of what you've been through and how struggles have been. Or you've grown up with a silver spoon in your mouth. Oh, wow, that explains some things maybe. Or whatever you've been through. Maybe whatever your parents went through, whatever their parents went through, you know, if they came from another country, struggled, you know, escaping Vietnam. I remember the story of one of my buddies at work and how he remembers as a kid escaping Vietnam. And his dad was on a list to be eliminated because he was one of the government officials and how they scrambled out of there. It's good to know that background so you can understand who they are, and in our case, it's even better because then we can learn from it. So, Hezekiah was his great grandfather, and just so you know, if the Bible was to rate the kings, you know, like 1, 2, and 3, I don't know which order it would be exactly, but of the kings of Judah, the three top kings are always David, Hezekiah, and Josiah. So I always knew Hezekiah was kind of a cool dude, but I didn't pay so much attention to Josiah. So I was like, oh, now I've learned something. So Hezekiah, he had worked to get the temple fixed up, got the priests back to doing their jobs. He cleaned Judah out of their idols and worship of other false gods. And he's the one, if you remember the story, he would have died. But he prayed to the Lord, because Isaiah came to him and told him, hey, just so you know, you're about to die. So take care of your affairs. The Lord's taking you home. But Hezekiah prays to the Lord and says, Lord, could I have more time, please? Not in those words exactly. But the effect is that Isaiah was walking out, gets the word from the Lord, turns around, comes back in. You just got 15 more years. And so he goes, what? And when Hezekiah asked, well, what's going to be the sign that this is going to happen? He goes, well, what do you want? You want the shadow to jump ahead 10 steps or to go back 10 steps? He goes, well, 10 steps forward would be easy. Go back 10 steps. And what happens? The sun goes back 10 steps. Now, we're traveling. If you're at the equator, you're traveling around the earth at like 1,038 miles an hour or something like that. How does it all of a sudden stop and go back? I don't know. That's beyond me. That's a miracle. I don't understand how God does that. Like, he stopped the earth so that the Israelites could continue taking in their battle over the Hittites. I don't remember which group, but in this case, he not only stops it, he spins it back a little ways. How is it we didn't go flying off? I don't know, but pretty amazing. So that's Hezekiah. But he asked for 15 more years. And in this case, sometimes better to not get what you ask for. Because if Hezekiah had gone out then, he had gone out on a high note. But as a result, in those 15 years, his son Manasseh was born, who was classified as the worst king of Judah. He messed up at the end, where he'd been living a pretty good life, done things well, and then his pride got to him and messed up. Makes us think, okay, Lord, when you're ready to take me home, just take me. Don't let me mess up. Take me before I do that. But so that's who his grandfather was. He should have, as 1 Corinthians 10:12, taken thought of, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. He thought he had it. His pride got in the way. So, but he's still a really good guy. And made all these good changes. Then came his son, Manasseh. Now, Manasseh, like I said, was the other end of the spectrum. Hezekiah, one of the best. Manasseh is one of the worst. It was kind of like he was rebelling against his dad and doing everything he could to negate everything his dad had done. He went around getting idols and high places rebuilt and all this stuff. And that he just went all at it. As well as adding in new worship of like the stars and stuff. That was something new that had not been done before in Israel. And that became a thing that people started doing. And he just kept leading Israel into sin and more sin. And it says that he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood from end to end. And that's his grandpa. And that's who he was alive with, because you have to understand that his dad got into power, was only there for 2 years, and got killed by his servants because they didn't like him. So I don't know if he was going to be worse than Manasseh, but they eliminated him before he could get that far. So at 8 years old, now Josiah, with this horrible grandfather and not so good father, who was probably 16 when he had him, maybe as old as 24, depending on some things, but young guy and just obviously bad already, because they just get rid of them. Servants got rid of them. Usually those ones that are taking care of you. And not in that case. Well, they took care of him, all right. But he, this is the family he was born into. So you think, wow, he's born into a pretty broken family. You think that, oh, man, he might be pretty messed up. Then we start learning about him, and we find that, you know, he starts to be like his grandfather, who died some 40 years before he was born. It says in 2 Chronicles that by the time of his eighth year of reigning, he began to follow after the Lord. So now at 16, he starts to figure things out and go, you know what? And starts following after the Lord. By his 12th year, he was going around and having his servants reversing all the stuff that his grandfather Manasseh had done. So Hezekiah wipes out the idols, the high places, the Asherim, and all these things. Along comes Manasseh, builds him back up. Now Josiah, and he goes all out at doing it. He went all over. In fact, during his time, the kingdom expanded. Part of what had been the northern kingdom became under his purview. Because the power of Assyria was weakening, and so they took over more territory and had that as part of theirs. And he was going up there and personally going up and taking down the high places, finding the bones of the prophets and the priests that had been serving these false gods, got their bones, ground them to powder, burned them on the in the fire, doing all sorts of things just to eliminate all vestiges of this. And in fact, he basically, once and for all, kind of eliminated it mostly from Israel. And then in his 18th year, he came to the, he had people, had him working on the temple. And in the process of cleaning out the temple and getting rid of, like, one of the things that Manasseh had done that had never been done before, he built a couple altars in the courtyards, which was bad enough, entering into the temple. But then in the holy place, he put up an Asherim, and which was a thing that they worshiped. And that was like, you don't do that. This is where God puts his name. And he went, and that's how much he was like, I'm going to do it everywhere. Notice he didn't make it into the Holy of Holies, though. So, but he got there, and he put that there. And so that was one of the things. Josiah is like getting that and eliminating all those things from there and getting the money that has been given for the care of the temple and making sure that it's being used and fixing up the temple and getting it cleaned up and all those things put away just bringing order back to it. And in the process, they found the covenant that God had made with them. Some copy of the scripture. I don't know how much of it. Was it Genesis through Deuteronomy? I don't know. Was it just part of it? It's not clear. But they found part of it. And when he found out about that, they had brought it to him. He goes, read it. And so they read it. Partway through, he's like, oh, woe is us for what we've done. And he just starts this whole thing of getting all the elders and the priests and from all the nation, come bringing them in, and all Jerusalem, and brings them together at the temple, and he reads it out loud to them. And they repent. And they, in so doing, God gives them an assurance that, hey, in all this, I promised Manasseh, I'm going to wipe your descendants out. But because of you and what you're doing, I won't do it in your time. But still, you know, sometimes you might think, oh, whew, I skated, I can just relax. No, he didn't. He just kept going on full bore. Finished the cleanup. Finished getting rid of all those false gods. And brought Israel back to where it should be, in worshiping the Lord. He reinstituted the observance of the Passover, which hadn't been done for some time. And again, like his grandfather, great-grandfather Hezekiah, he kind of blew it in the end. You know, he started doing things, and instead of going, Lord, should I go down and confront Pharaoh, who's coming up to do battle with the Assyrians? He didn't take the time to do that. He just went and did it. He went down and confronted him, and Pharaoh goes, hey, what's up with the thing? I'm not coming after you. What do I have to do with you? But because he came down, they shot arrows at him, and one of them, he was kind of hidden away in there. One of them hit him, and he ended up dying as a result. Should always ask the Lord for guidance. But his was a great life. He should have had the time lying in state like John McCain had. Should have had people lying, coming around and remembering all the things that he had done and learning from him. I don't know if they did or not. It doesn't tell us about that kind of thing. But we need to be taking the time and looking at the lives of these people, like Josiah, learning from them. Lord, what can I take away from this? So in order to do that, what does that require? Taking some time and reading it, right? We can't be like just ignoring it and learning from it. It doesn't happen that way. So we need to spend our time in the Word, finding out what God has to say to us there. We need to be warned to not be like those that blew it. Don't be like Josiah there at the end where, man, he done so good, and then right at the end, kind of blew it. But we should also be looking at all these other witnesses and learning like from in Hebrews 12, after talking about all these people, that in all the things that they'd done, and he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, okay, because of all this thing, because of all these witnesses, because of this, remember, therefore, anytime you see the therefore, what is it therefore? It's trying to tell you something. Now learn from this. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. By going and looking at the lives of these people, we can learn. We can figure out what is it that I should be doing. We could figure out, oh, you know what? I'm going through a circumstance like that. How did they handle it? Now, we've gone pretty quickly through the lives of a few men, concentrating on Josiah, but there's so many more out there. You could go through the whole Old Testament, the New Testament, and there's the lives of so many people that we can learn from. Take the time, look at one of them, and just say, okay, I'm going to learn all I can about Josiah, for instance. You know, I kind of mostly took my stuff from 1 Corinthians, but then there's 2 Kings, but then there's 2 Chronicles, which also has a whole bunch on him and what he did. And just take your time and read through it and think, wow, if I was king, would I have done that? You know, sometimes when you're the leader, it's hard to do the things that aren't popular, right? They'll tear you up in the press if you do some of the things that aren't popular, right? You're going to look bad and people will be hating you and your approval ratings will plummet. And are we going to be able to stand up for that? If we were the president or the congressman or whatever the Lord's called us to, or at your job, if you go to work, are you going to be able to stand and do the right thing? I know I've blown it. It's like, oh, why did I do that? I caved to pressure. Hey, that's like, oh, man, what was I thinking? And you regret it. You can't change it. It's too late now. You can repent and move on. But, yeah, take heed. Like 2 Corinthians says, you can also go and find all sorts of books about great Christians of the faith. You ever read about Joni? And how she dove into the pool, or into the lake as a teenager, and she had everything going for her. She was just a great kid, and broke her neck. Paralyzed. Quadriplegic. How do you live for the Lord then? Huh. Amazingly, that woman is awesome. And if you've never read her story, do it. Just incredible life. Or you could read about it, you know, are you a businessman? Read about the businessman inventor R.G. Letourneau and all that he went through and how he just kept pursuing after the Lord. He'd make a ton of money, and then all of a sudden he'd lose it. And then he'd make them again, and he'd go bankrupt again. And he just kept it. But you know what? He always kept pursuing after the Lord and all he did. And in the end, he had promised the Lord, he always gave 10%. And then he made it 20%. And pretty soon he gave 90% of all he made to the Lord. He goes, I can't give back to him fast enough. Because the Lord kept blessing him all he did. Amazing story. If you like big earth moving equipment, interesting story. Or great missionaries like Dr. Livingston or Amy Carmichael. Or track down people that are alive right now. You know, we don't have to wait till people are dead to find out about them. In fact, it's better to not wait till you get to their funeral and go, oh, shoot. I wish I would have taken the time to find out about that person's lives. Because you know what? It's when you go to their funeral, you hear all this stuff, and you're like, shoot, I blew it again. I didn't take the time to ask this person. I remember working ambulance years ago, and I had this person that I was busy, and I had a long day. I'm doing all this paperwork, trying to catch up on him. He's an easy patient, so I'm just sitting there doing paperwork, and I'm half listening to him, not paying attention. And starts talking about the war. Okay, yeah, well which, what were you in? I was in the infantry. Okay, and you know, I'm not really paying attention. Then he said, but on the wrong side. That got my attention. And I realized he has a German accent. So suddenly my interest was up and I started asking questions. I'm like, at first I'm like, I've never met anybody who is from Germany. You've got me totally thrown off. I don't even know where to start. What did you think of Hitler? And he goes, well, you know, and he tells me some stuff. And it was just interesting. Now, fascinating conversation the rest of the time. Why did I not pay attention in the beginning? We get so distracted with the things of this world, we don't pay attention to what's right in front of us. Whether it be here or the person that's sitting right in front of us. And that's when I realized I was blowing it. And I started to try to ask more questions, to look around more, to try and learn about the people, try to be interested in their lives. Because you know what? They're interesting. Take the time to do it. And if you don't, you're blowing it. And so, yeah, it's been fun. Now, as a fireman, I go into people's homes all the time. And if it's not like something urgent that we're really working on hard, or you know, I don't have time to look, I'll stop and I look around. And usually you see pictures and you're like, why is there that picture of the space shuttle? And then I find out, oh, he was a pilot on the space shuttle. Huh, pretty fascinating. So I start asking questions. Or the one where there's this couple, and I look and it's, oh, they probably got married in Vietnam. White guy, Asian, Vietnamese gal. Racket, those two, they're hilarious. But I've seen them several times. She always comes up and gives me a hug when she sees me because I started asking questions and finding out about them. And she opens the door and she just starts laughing and just gives me a big hug. It's way down here, but she's so tiny. But taking the time to learn what has happened in people's lives. Something on my list of things to do, which anybody want to go, let's go. Go down to Florida. Go sit down with the Palmers for hours and just talk. Find out more about what they've done. I blew it. I didn't spend enough time when they were here. I did spend time with them, but it's still not enough. There's so much I could learn from those two. They're awesome. You know, find people right here in the church that you don't know, especially those of our older crowd. Those that have... What's that?
Don't look at me.
Why not? No, but I mean, anybody over 50, you know, I'm classified in that now. We should be looking to those who've gone before us, or even those who are younger. Find out about their lives. Learn from them. But God gave us specifically a bunch that he put here specifically for us so that we can learn. So many of whom the world was not worthy. We need to learn the positive and the negative. Turn from the good, or turn from the bad into the good. Copy the good. And as 12:1 said, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And I stopped there. Why do we do this? And how? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. If the ushers will come forward now, that's what we come right now to do, is to remember what the Lord has done for us. We try and do this every week, take the time to remember this. It's such an important thing to remember. But he tells us, remember this regularly, but he also tells us to remember all these other people. And that's what we need to be doing. Spending our time remembering those that have gone before us and learning from them. And if you don't know this Jesus that we're coming to remember right now, that's what you need. You need to find out about him. The only way to find out about him is to start asking questions. Ask them of your friends that know him. Go to the Word, ask it, start reading it. Start finding out about what he's done. And understand how there is no hope except with him. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, just thank you for all you do for us. Thank you for all the people that you've given us that have gone before us, that we can learn from, both positively and negatively. Thank you for the people that are with us now that we can also learn from, to be encouraged by, to walk together in this life. Thank you for this body. And Father, I just pray that you would be glorified in our lives as we struggle along through it together, encouraging each other, loving each other. Thank you for calling this body together. And it's only because of what you've done and sending Jesus to die on the cross on our behalf that we can be a family. People that on the face of it would not look like a group that would ever belong together. But because of you, we're a family. Because of you, we're adopted sons and daughters of the King. Father, just thank you so much for all you do for us. May you be glorified in all our time this morning and throughout our week as we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.